This is Lindsay.
And Kathy of Kindergarten Kiosk, a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Just like the show you're listening to right now.
The opinions expressed are those of individual hosts. Make sure you check out all the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. And now the learning begins in...
Three, two, one.
Welcome to the Infused Classroom Podcast, where each episode, Tanya Abrith and Holly Clark take you behind the scenes with leaders in education, give you insights into what's happening in classrooms around the globe, and showcase online platforms that are disrupting education.
Hi, and welcome to the Infused Classroom Podcast. I'm Holly Clark from San Diego.
And I'm Tanya Abrith from South Florida.
And today we are so excited because we have Michael Crawford on the show. And Michael works for an app that I am so excited about. I cannot wait for this to come out, called EdSpace Live. And we wanted to get the 411 on what EdSpace Live is and what we can anticipate for the future and all things EdSpace Live. So Michael, introduce yourself and then tell us more.
Sure. Thank you very much for having me. My name is Michael, as you mentioned. EdSpace is the app. So I work for a nonprofit called Real World Scholars, and we have been helping classrooms start and run businesses for the last 5 years, providing them with technology and other kinds of support, resources, a platform, ways to kind of handle the money and really help young people be infused with the entrepreneurial spirit and engage in the entrepreneurial process. And one of the things that we found throughout this experience is that educators are often doing amazing things in classrooms. As you both know, traveling all over the place, you've seen it firsthand. You are probably those educators doing amazing things in classrooms. So no surprise to you. And what also isn't a surprise to you is that oftentimes it's really challenging for educators in one classroom, in one building, to have a sense of what's going on anywhere else in their building, in their district, in their state. And so we saw this with the teachers that we supported. So many of them were doing really cool things with their EdCorp, which is the education corporation that we helped them to start, but also doing so many other awesome things. And so we were trying to provide support. And meanwhile, there are teachers everywhere who are doing amazing things, who could be that support system for one another. And yet there was no great way for them to be able to find one another, leverage one another's brilliance, and ultimately kind of upcycle their own professional world. And so I said, well, this doesn't make any sense to us. We as sort of the entrepreneurial folks with a tech hat that we wear from time to time said we can't stand for this. And so what is out there? What are the different ways that teachers right now are getting the kinds of support and inspiration and learning that allow them to do their work well? And one of the things that is true is teachers can go to conferences, they can kind of rub shoulders with other educators doing the work. And when they do that, that's great. They get this sort of face-to-face contact with folks. But too few educators get to have those experiences. Maybe they go once a year, maybe they don't. And so this opportunity to connect with other educators just doesn't exist. And so we thought, well, what if we could create a virtual environment, a place where educators any time of day, from their phone, from their computer, can jump into a place where they're interested in a particular topic, be it equity or design thinking or how to teach English language arts in a rural high school. And they could connect virtually with other educators doing the same thing, and they could begin to kind of feel that energy that comes from the collision of people who care and sort of are doing the same kinds of work. And so that kind of started us on this path. We started diving deep into existing platforms, looking at the research around serendipitous learning and social learning and micro learning, and really trying to understand where is the future of professional learning headed, and how can we begin to build something that can serve as that place where teachers go to get that kind of rejuvenation, that energy, that inspiration. And so we landed on EdSpace sort of through quite the ride. And it is not out yet, so it'll be out in the fall. Doors will open fall of 2019, and teachers and school leaders will have a chance to jump in there and and connect. So we're really excited.
That sounds so exciting, especially as someone who's currently in the classroom, who often feels like their doors are shut and then you're shut off from the rest of the world. And having the ability to kind of connect with somebody who is somewhere else or hear what's going on in someone else's classroom with ease is really exciting. Tell me, Michael, what would that look like? Like, what would it be like for me? I'm a teacher. I'm teaching my day to day. What would that entail for me to actually use the app?
Sure. So it's an app on your iPhone, or if you have an Android phone, that works. Or again, you can access it from your computer. But what happens is you register, you sign up, you jump in, and immediately you see what we call the live guide, which is essentially your custom home base for your EdSpace experience. Within the live guide, there are channels. These are channels that are based on topics of interest. They could be based on every user who signs up gets their own personal channel that they can use to host their own show or use it as a reflection journal or use it as a place to just kind of share what they're thinking or what they're musing about. Also, when anybody signs up, they indicate what school they work at or what organization they work for, and they're automatically given private channels that are only, they're exclusive to that particular organization. And so you as a teacher would sign up at, what's the name of your school?
North Broward Prep.
There you go, North Broward Prep. So you sign up at your school and you see the North Broward Prep private channels, and only educators and principals and tech specialists from that school will have those channels.
Wow.
So from there, from your live guide, that's one place. These are sort of your channels. You can add channels, you can remove channels, and then you can jump over to what we're calling hubs, which is where the rest of the channels live. So there's a topics hub, and so you could jump in there and find channels around science or math or help, I'm a first year teacher, or I love rockets, whatever channels we have. And in the short term, we'll be making the channels based on feedback from educators. But over time, anybody, kind of like a hashtag, anybody can create their own channels and begin getting the conversation going. Other channels around chats, kind of leveraging the conversations and the energy from Twitter. And so there'll be those. There's other channels around conferences and organizations. And so from there, you really kind of just explore and find the things that are of interest to you, or the things where you might find people of interest to you, and you just you jump in and you explore.
Well, are these channels like television channels where it's going to be video?
So yes and no. So it is video. So we chose video as the primary medium for EdSpace, and we did that because in real life, there is nothing better than sitting down across the table from somebody, having a cup of coffee, and being able to actually talk in real life. You capture everything about that person. No communication is lost. The next best thing to being face-to-face in real life with somebody is video, where you can see their facial expressions, you can hear their intonation. So much is lost with just text-based communication. And so the next best thing is video. And in part of EdSpace, what we wanted to do is make it easily accessible for educators of all kinds. And a lot of educators are scared of video, which is rightfully so. A lot of people are kind of scared to put their face on video. But the way that these videos work is that they're very short in nature, so they're not highly produced. They're less than three minutes long. They delete 72 hours after your last interaction, which means kind of like Snapchat, a little bit different than Snapchat, but which means that you're only seeing video posts in channels that are either fresh, they're brand new, somebody just posted it within 72 hours, or there's a great conversation happening, because every time somebody engages with a post, they either reply to it or leave a comment or share it. Anytime that happens, the 72-hour clock restarts, which means that you're only getting content. You're only seeing the conversations that are either brand new and current, or they're really engaging and relevant. And so it feels kind of like Netflix. So when you jump on and you look across the channels, you'll see, you know, people's video posts kind of posted throughout. There's titles, you can see what they're talking about. And then you jump in, you can click on it, you'll see the post, and right from the post, you can send them a message, you can share it out, you can jump back out and add that channel to your live guide if you're really interested in the different kinds of conversations that are happening. And so that's the field. We really want educators to be able to drive their own learning and direct their own learning. We have heard from too many, and you both probably know this yourself, that too much of PD and too much of professional learning is a sort of one size fits all. It's irrelevant. It's a waste of time. You already know about, you know, design thinking, or you already know how to use Google Docs. You don't need a 2-hour, you know, somebody coming in. Maybe somebody does need that, but if you don't, then you're just sitting there kind of wasting your time. Instead, on EdSpace, you're the one who gets to curate your own learning experiences. And we think that that'll tap into a need that teachers have in a big way.
I love it. It's like binge learning.
Yeah.
Using an app and differentiating your instruction. But for teachers, it sounds so exciting. And it's exciting for me because this is actually the first time that I'm really hearing about it. So I'm so stoked because this is exactly what like my faculty needs. So this is really exciting.
And what I loved when you told me about it first, Michael, is that you said, you know, like you get on Twitter, you don't know who to follow. You don't know, you know, who are the relevant people or the conversations. And then Twitter has a algorithm that's giving me certain things, whether I want them or not. And this is more about the conversation about, you know what, I'm really into STEM. Let me press on them and see what people are talking about STEM. And so while some people might be talking about STEM on Twitter or on Instagram, it's also being inundated with other stuff that's happening, like maybe Trump comes through or maybe my friend's baby at her shower comes through. And that's not relevant to me. So I can go here and I can do pretty focused learning. And I was like, this is what we need. It's also giving people, it sounds like, the ability to tell the story of their school to each other. And without the parents being there saying, I don't know if I like that lesson. I mean, you don't have to be afraid of that.
No. And again, the idea for us was speaking, Holly, directly to what you're talking about, which is right now teachers who are on Twitter identify it as one of the most powerful professional learning experiences of their life. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to teachers who said, Twitter has changed my teaching. Twitter has rejuvenated my own teaching experience. And while that is great and that is true, I'm a big fan of Twitter. Some of my sort of best connections and learnings have sparked from Twitter. The best research that we have to date says something to the effect of 10 to 12% of all educators in the United States are on Twitter. So that's 3.9 million educators in the United States. And only a slice of them are using the tool that the folks using it say is the greatest tool for connection and for professional learning. And so that doesn't make any sense to us. And so we, again, wanted to create this environment that is for educators. So there aren't cat videos, there aren't political rants, there aren't the sort of, you know, the nonsense that comes through on Twitter, which, you know, if you're savvy or you have enough energy and time to invest to kind of find the people and find the path that makes the most sense, go for it. But most teachers don't have that time. Most teachers are less, you know, they're more focused on how to better serve they're young people than they are to figuring out how to navigate the world of Twitter. And so we wanted to create an environment where it was easy to be able to jump in. The other thing that you mentioned around sharing your story, you know, gets back to how we started, which is why create this environment that is private, that is for educators, that is safe for them to tell their story, to share some of the struggles and some of the trips and falls that aren't you know, the most glamorous, that aren't necessarily something that you want to share with parents, but is important to be able to share with your peers to get feedback, to be vulnerable. If more educators could sort of embody that, they could model that for their students. I think, you know, we talk about failure and learning. I think it changes what happens in schools and what happens in classrooms.
So another thing I'm really excited about, you probably don't know Tanya and I's love story. It's quite.
I don't. I'm ready. I don't know it.
But we met at a conference, and it was a conversation that we had at this conference. And then we were like, "What? I love you. No, I love you." And so,
we felt so alone in our schools.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, what ends up happening is you are innovative or you have these ideas, but you're in a little bubble and you feel like you're on an island and you feel like you're the only one. And if you're lucky enough to go to a conference, then you're lucky enough to find perhaps someone who's in your tribe who thinks like you or who feels like you or is as passionate as you. But go ahead, Holly, because I didn't interrupt.
It's okay. But because of the conversation that we had at this conference, we became friends, and now there's Chromebooks Infused Classrooms and Google Infused Classrooms over that conversation that we had. And it was at a dinner, I believe. I don't even remember how that started. Sorry, Tanya.
But I do, for dinner.
Okay.
With Jenny Vigura. That's how we met.
Yeah. And I almost didn't make it because it was snowing. But anyway. What my point is that conversation that we had that started the love affair can happen now using an EdSpace. And it seems like EdSpace is bursting that bubble that you just said, Tanya, we're in a bubble, but we want other people to be in this bubble. And we want that 60% of teachers who aren't kind of, you know, on Twitter, and there's 20% who are never just going to do this stuff. And in my opinion, and there's 60% who want to, but need an example. And so, like, when you told me about this, I was like, this is it. This gets to those 60%. Finally, I think it's going to change or move the lever. And I just couldn't be more excited. And one more thing, sorry. Then when you were talking to me about it, I thought to myself, you know, I get this opportunity to visit schools all around the world. In fact, Casey Bell told me today, I don't know any other educator who's been to more countries than you. And, but this is it. I want to take in that video and show you what I'm seeing and come visit Keystone Academy in Beijing with me. Like, let's open the door to all of these places. And this is why EdSpace to me is, I'm just on pins and needles for September when this launches.
Well, thanks so much. You
know, this reminds me a little of like, when we used to do EduSlam, and the idea of like these best practices that you could use in your classroom tomorrow, right? Like, you get to share this really awesome thing that you did today. Could be like a 5-minute little video. Is that what you're envisioning, Michael?
3 minutes.
Three minutes.
Yes, I love it. Even better.
But yeah, I mean, that's it, right? I mean, so we have a lot of ideas for what the goal of a particular video could be, or the sort of the reasons or rationale. It can be a reflection right after a workshop. It can be showing the rest of your staff, you know, this new piece of technology that you're using in your school. It could be walking down the hall and knowing that a student, you know, had a great win in their basketball game last night, and doing a quick interview to, you know, ask them what the best part about that win was. There's so many different ways to use this, and what we're excited about is getting back to something that I think you both said. Teachers are doing so much of their work. Teaching is one of the more isolating professions. And so to be able to sort of raise the eyes, like pull the sheet, the cover off, and to be able to connect in this sort of way is not something that currently exists. And yet the expertise and the experience and the resources are kind of within educators. And so if they're able to leverage those across the entire profession, I think things change. And yeah, we're really excited to see the other creative ways, the innovative ways that teachers and school leaders can lean into this kind of technology and connect, you know, human to human in ways that they don't get enough opportunity to do.
If you haven't heard me quote Yang Zhao, I learned when I was in Beijing, it's Zhou, Yang Zhou, but I've never heard him pronounce it that way. But if you haven't heard me quote him, then you haven't been around me very long. And why I say that is because I've understood that he's going to have a show. Like, there's going to be people, thought leaders who will have shows, and you can follow what he's saying. And I mean, this is so needed in education.
Thanks. Yeah. And so part of the thrust of this is, you know, people know Yang Zhao, and they know you both, and they know Caleb Rashad and Katie Martin and all these, you know, thought leaders, influencers, experts, rock stars in education. They know them from the keynote stage or from the books or the blog posts that they've written, but not that many know who they are as human beings. And so part of learning and part of education is about relationships between teachers and students, relationships between teachers and the broader community, parents, etc. And so for EdSpace to be the platform where you get a glimpse into, you know, what is Yang Zhao thinking right after he walks off stage, or maybe what is he thinking, you know, in the in the Uber on his way to the keynote, right? Yes. I mean, what are the things that he is kind of musing on? Right now, there's not great platforms to be able to share that and to be able to get that kind of connection with the people who are, you know, pushing education forward. And EdSpace can do that. So yeah, we're pumped.
So I have a question. Let's say I'm an educator who would like to have a show. Like, how would that work?
So right now, the way that it'll work is that there will be a limited number of what we're calling featured shows. And so these are shows, when you go to the shows hub, you will see a list of the people, their channels, you know, folks that I just mentioned, Eric Shigala and others, authors, and they will have their own channels. You'll be able to see them right away. But we also know that that there's immense innovation happening and a lot of really creative and cool things happening in classrooms that are being done by teachers who don't have book deals and who don't have their own, you know, YouTube or Twitter followings. And so we want to be able to elevate those voices as well. So no matter what kind or, you know, frequency, the duration of your education career, you can have your own show. And so what'll happen is you sign up, you just mark that you want to have a show. And then within the show's hub, there'll be a channel where you can kind of, you can click into that channel and you'll see all of the other people within EdSpace who want to have their own show. You'll be able to see all of them in there, and you can use filters. So you can filter by location, or you can say, I want to only look at elementary school teachers. I'm an elementary school teacher, and I just want to see what are the cool things that some of these elementary school teachers are doing. So I can filter by that, or I can filter by, you know what, I'm a private school teacher in rural Tennessee, and I want to filter by rural, and I want to filter by private school. And then I'm going to see who I'm going to see there. And so just allowing the viewer to determine who they see will then allow that person to say, hey, you know, Ms. Jones from rural Tennessee, you said this really amazing thing. I'm going to send you a message, reach out, and we can start talking. And in normal, without something like EdSpace, if Ms. Jones isn't on Twitter, or you don't happen to sit down directly next to Ms. Jones at a conference, there's essentially zero chance that you'll ever know who she is or know about her work. And so again, the hope of EdSpace is that it begins to elevate these voices, and that it begins to serve as these conversation catalysts that can spark those relationships.
I love that. I think it will really connect people in a really meaningful ways as well.
It's really, Tanya, if I can jump in, the democratization of sharing, because now you can do it equally. You don't have to be on Twitter. You don't have to have a lot of followers. You're not looking for that. It's just about conversations, and it's just about learning. And that's what really sparked my interest in it, because if you are getting on Twitter right now and you don't have a lot of followers, trying to get followers is not easy. And then you're not in the algorithm, and then no one, like, it's crazy. So this isn't about that. This is about learning, period, end of story.
Well, and on Twitter, you have 280 characters. I mean, you're not getting really rich conversation. You're really bringing you to other conversation, or it's bringing you to other information. And I really think, like, I love Twitter. I love the bite size, but I think sometimes it becomes a bit of an echo chamber. And I do love the idea of being able to go and now have a different perspective and a different way to communicate with video, with people. I love the idea of, I mean, this is the first time I'm hearing about it, but being able to go in and say, I want, you know, I live in, you know, rural Kentucky, and I want to find out what are other people in rural areas do. Like, that's so brilliant.
Or like STEM. Like, I'm a STEM teacher. They just brought STEM to my school. I press on STEM, and all the STEM comes up. Can you?
And then I'm also connecting to these people. Like, will there be the ability to have their Twitter handles attached to the person that they're connected? Like, is there the ability to connect further?
Totally. So within EdSpace, there's a couple other things that I have not mentioned yet. What Holly was saying is that on Twitter, the rules of engagement on Twitter mean that in order for your tweet to be seen, typically you need a bunch of followers, or you need to tag some folks so they can give you the signal boost that'll get you in front of more people. You kind of have to work your way up, and it takes a lot of time and a lot of energy. And again, teachers are not don't necessarily have that. On EdSpace, there are no followers, there are no retweets, there are no likes. This isn't a game. The rules of engagement in EdSpace are share, contribute, connect, and not about the popularity contest. It's not about having to compete with somebody who's been doing this for 10 years and they have 100,000 followers. And of course, nobody is going to care or know about what you have to say just because it's a comparison, it's a popularity contest. That's not the case on EdSpace. And the other thing is you will have the ability to provide your social media handles. You will be able to have the ability right within EdSpace to jump on a video chat, to send a direct message. And so you don't have to leave and go somewhere else, which, you know, right now you can jump on a video chat. You can jump on a Google Hangout if you want, but it takes coordination. And like, it's sort of weird to be like, hey, do you want to jump on a Google? Like, it's just uncommon. It's challenging. And so within EdSpace straight away, you're online, they're online, they just said something really cool. They have their video chat on. So one of the things that we know is important is that some people want to be getting incoming messages from folks. Some people don't. And so you'll have the ability to control what we call noise control. You'll have the ability to control kind of who can send you messages and who can't. And so if you have your noise control on, which means that you're open to video or text chat, and I have mine on, and we're both online at the same time, then I can just hit the button that says video chat, and you get a little message that says, hey, Michael wants to do a video chat. You want to jump on? And you hit yes. And so then right away, we're in this face-to-face conversation because of something cool that you said, and then I have a question now, and I can, you know, we can begin having a relationship. You can answer my question. I can hear your voice. I can see your face. Just so much better than, you know, I got to go to their school website and find their email address, and then I'm going to send them an email and it's going to get lost. And it's just, you know, it's kind of a mess. And so the hope again of this platform is to make it very easy for humans, for teachers to be able to connect with other teachers. We know that upwards of 40 to 50% of teachers leave the profession within the first 5 years. And the number one thing that they point to is that they felt unsupported, that they didn't have the tribe, the squad, the team that they could lean on when things get tough. And I'm not a teacher. Both my parents were public school educators. My wife was a school teacher as well. I am well aware of the challenges that happen on day zero of being a teacher. And so the fact that too many teachers don't have the human support that they need, it's not okay.
Well, I'll add to that. I think also very often teachers don't feel valued. Or they feel that their voice isn't heard. I think that's where a lot of negativity stems from in, you know, teacher workrooms or in general when you speak to a teacher who's just like not feeling it. They don't feel like their voice is heard. They don't feel valued. And I love the idea of being able to go someplace because, you know, the truth is you're really never going to be a prophet in your own land. Like, I don't care what anyone says. Like, when you're doing great things and you're in an organization, unless you have really strong culture and an amazing culture of leadership that really encourages that kind of collaboration, which is really rare. I've worked in so many schools and I can name a handful of places that do it well. You often will feel like you're doing these great things. And the truth is not that you know, this is teaching. You don't go in it to be famous. You don't go in it to make $1 million. You go in it to inspire lives. Truthfully, you really do. You go in it because you want to make a difference in the world. And you want to also be able to share the wins and you want to feel valued. And I think this is such an awesome opportunity for people to feel value in what they do, to feel like they're helping on a bigger scale, because ultimately, like, that's why we do this. And so I really think that this is going to change so many people. I really think this will change people's lives in the sense that they will have a voice now. They will feel like they are able to share their voice. And then other people who are maybe starting, new teachers who are not necessarily in a position where they often feel like they even know where to begin, will be able to find that mentorship or be able to find other people to join that tribe. And you're right. Twitter changed my life. I'm one of those people. It changed my life. It changed who I am. I would not be who I am today had I not been on Twitter. It was like, it's mind blowing. Like, from the moment that I got on Twitter till now, like, and it's been almost nine years since I've been on Twitter, and I'm one of the OGs, right? Like, I mean, I'm not even as OG as most people, but like, I've been on it a long time. And so I can't imagine my life without my tribe, without the people that I've connected to, without that opportunities that I've had to go to conferences and meet Holly and meet all these amazing people. And so now I love this because I'm so excited because all these people are going to be able to meet other people like me or like them. And oh, it's just so exciting. And I can't wait. So when does this come out? When do we get to use it?
Yeah. So first, let me just say, yeah, Twitter has, I am one of those people as well. Twitter has changed my life. I was a late-ish adopter to Twitter. But once I recognized that some of my favorite authors and the people that I appreciated, you know, watching their head on TV or something were on there and I could hear directly from them and I could learn from them and I could, you know, maybe send them things that they might not have known, I began to engage with it. And I have spent a lot of time, probably more time than I'm willing to admit, doing that, right? But for me, it was a sort of a worthwhile investment of time and in learning and in relationship building. What is exciting about EdSpace is that hopefully in a much shorter amount of time and a much less sort of energy investment, folks will be able to find the people that can help do what my Twitter crew has done for me. They'll be able to find it on EdSpace. Mm-hmm. In terms of when it comes out, so we have been building, we've been in development for over a year now, with feedback coming from all angles, you know, educators all over the country and all over the world, frankly. I spoke with someone from South Africa the other day, just trying to better understand what their work environment looks like, what needs do they have, what are they not getting that they wish they had, and how EdSpace could possibly help fill that. So in the fall, this fall 2019, we're shooting for September. The doors will open. Right now, if you go to edspace.live, you can add your name to, not you, because you've already done that, but your listeners can go there and add their name to the list to make sure that they get any of the updates that are coming out and, you know, sort of the get their spot in line when the doors do open. So, yeah, what are we in? April? Yeah, so a couple more months soon.
Well, and I have to ask this because I'm a teacher and let's be real, we don't really make very much money when we're, you know, in the classroom. So what will be the cost around this? Is there a cost? Like how will that work?
Yeah, good question. There is no cost to teachers. We wanted to create something that, given everything you just described, given the context for educators today, given that teachers are already spending a ton out of pocket for markers and other supplies and travel. I was just at the McCall conference here in Detroit, and one of my friends, an educator who works at the next town over, had to pay her way to come here, which wasn't that much because she lives nearby. But she had to register herself because her school wouldn't cover it, and so which I'm sure is so many more educators than there should be, and so we wanted to not add another kind of financial burden to the list of things that teachers are already paying for. Right now, we are working on a financial model that makes the most sense for everybody in play. We know that in order for this to have the most likely chance for the greatest impact, it needs to reach as many people as possible. And we also know that in order to keep the lights on, that there has to be some sort of revenue coming in. And right. So we're actually working on a model right now.
That's awesome. I think that you guys are onto something. And I think that I really believe that with ed tech, when you have something that works, ultimately the money will come like in some way or another. Like I've seen that with companies. And so I believe that you guys are doing the right thing. And I think that you're going to reach so many teachers. I think that this is going to be really a powerful tool for people to learn and connect. And I think this is really needed. It's timely. This is coming in at a really good time where like that whole disruption in how we learn and how we view television and how we are getting information is really heading in this place, in this ed space. And so I do think that this is really exciting. Michael, do you have any final thoughts or anything that you want to share before we kind of close up today?
Well, no, I just want to kind of build on where you ended. I think where the world is going and education as being part of that world, there is no future that I can imagine where teachers will continue to do their work siloed, continue to do their work getting, you know, professional nourishment once a quarter or once a month. That cannot be where the future of learning and development is going. And by can't, I don't mean that it is impossible. I mean that we can't let that happen. And so, you know, if EdSpace can be one of the tools, one of the platforms, one of the ways in which educators are able to connect and leverage their collective genius, their collective expertise and experience, if we can contribute in that way, then I think we'll be happy with that. And so, yeah, just thanks for having me on. Thanks for the airtime, and we look forward to seeing what happens in the fall.
Well, we're so excited. Thank you so very much for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks so much, and we're super excited for this.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Infused Classroom podcast. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or anywhere you get podcasts. Keep up with the conversation by using the hashtag Infused Classroom on Twitter and Instagram. And make sure to check out infusedclassroom.com. See you next time.